You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Meat Friday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. In case you're wondering, you live vicariously through us and our Traeger grills, kielbasa, hot dogs, and chili. Once again, who has it better than us?
Nobody.
That's the correct response there. Coming up, we'll check in with the Dodgers. Your phone calls are always welcome, 877-3DP-SHOW. We say good morning to our newest affiliate, Fox Sports Boise 99.9. Boise's new home for sports and the Dan Patrick Show, thanks to their program director, Todd Kimmel, for the love. Todd, baseball playoffs underway. You can read predictions everywhere, and I'm not sure what to make of them because baseball has had one of the more unpredictable seasons. We haven't had a repeat champ since the 2000 Yankees. Winning a lot of games in the regular season doesn't guarantee anything. You got the best record right now, the Giants, 107 games that they won this year. The team with the best record has won the World Series just six times since 2000. Dodgers have 106. Now they meet each other. You got to have strong pitching, right? A couple of great arms can carry a team, like we saw the Nationals in 2019. But bullpens, also important and unpredictable. And then payroll is a factor. Dodgers won last year, but look at the Rays. Made it to the World Series, they don't pay anybody. And don't forget, when the Yankees won all those titles back in the day, they didn't have to play three rounds of playoffs. The extra teams add an element of randomness in the playoffs, and making predictions makes it a whole lot tougher, but good reason to stay tuned in because there's no trustworthy way to pick a champion, I don't think. Here's something I didn't realize at the time. I've mentioned this a couple of times. When I looked at over-unders for entertainment purposes, and I noticed that the San Francisco Giants were around 74.5 games over under. And we knew the Dodgers were going to be great. Knew the Padres were going to be improved. And you start to look at the Giants and you're like, yeah, I don't really know anybody. Buster Posey is still there. They got a guy named Crawford and that's about it. And then you go, yeah, I love the ballpark, but they're 100-1 long shots to win the World Series. Well, they have the best record in baseball. Now, multiple operators, gambling sites, each stand to lose more than $1 million if the Giants win the championship. MGM director of trading, Jeff Stoneback, told ESPN, honestly, we get crushed if the Giants win. You start to look at these wagers, and you know, like they're cute bets, it feels like. Oh, how much did you put on the Giants? Oh, you put $1,000 on them at 300-1? Yeah. And then all of a sudden you go, oh, boy. And then the number of people who probably have $1,000 at 200-1. Oh, wow. That's why Vegas. Remember when you had the Vegas Golden Knights? The books, they were on the verge of a similar predicament. Vegas Golden Knights reached the Stanley Cup final, their inaugural NHL season. Leicester City, those odds were really long in soccer. And I, of course, took those odds. I just didn't put any money down. Yes, Paul.
Yeah, the San Francisco Giants last year, they were 14 games out of first in only a 60-game season. Yeah. 2 years ago, they were 30 games out of first.
All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp at danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at dpshow. Rams rough up the Seahawks. Russell Wilson injures his finger. We don't know the magnitude of it right now. The Rams go to 4-1. Here's Matthew Stafford on that record.
The fun thing is being 4-1 and knowing that, you know, our best game of football hasn't been played yet. There's a lot of things that we can clean up. I can clean up. I know we can as an entire team. So nothing's easy in this league. You earn every single one you get, especially going on the road against a really good football team like Seattle, you know, in a hostile environment. So I'm happy to be where we are. I know there's a lot of work to be done and a lot of football left to be played.
Here's Pete Carroll on Russell Wilson being pulled from the game last night.
What was the determining factor that pulled him?
He wasn't able to hold on to the football the way he needed to throw it, because we were going to throw the ball and we had to throw it all over the place. And we didn't know, you know, what he would be able to do. We was just unsure. And, you know, I trust him that, I mean, if he could have, he would have.
The Seahawks right now giving up an average of 451 yards per game. That would put them on a record-setting pace, if you believe in a record-setting pace, about 7,600 yards in 17 games. That would be the most in NFL history. Do I expect that to happen? No. But if Russ is not there, and I looked at the schedule. These are winnable games with Geno Smith as your quarterback. And Geno did okay. You got the Saints, the Jags, and the Steelers, and then a bye week. And I don't know if Russ has a broken finger, dislocated finger. Pain is not going to be the issue. It's just the ability to grip the football. And that's the only part of this that I care about. Matthew Stafford had his finger dislocated. He put it, you know, pulled it out and put it back in last night. These things happen, but I don't know if Russ is going to be able to grip the football. And I think that's going to be, I think that's going to be the biggest issue that we have here. Yeah, McLovin.
I noticed the NFC West plays the AFC South, so it's the best against the worst. So they're all going to have like 10 wins.
Yeah. I just don't know if Seattle, I didn't have confidence in them prior to Russ getting hurt.
Do you feel pretty comfortable Rams and Cardinals are look like they're playoff bound?
I would think so. I just don't know what San Francisco is right now. Who's San Francisco got this week? Do they have the Cardinals?
Yeah, I believe it's the Cardinals. Yep, Cardinals at Cardinals.
San Francisco's at Arizona.
Yeah, it's at Arizona.
Okay. Somebody's going to get tripped up here. Like there's always a tricky game every single weekend. You know, as crazy as it may sound, Green Bay going to Cincinnati. They don't have their best defensive back. They don't have their best pass rusher. And you're going to Cincinnati. And I know you would probably look at this on the schedule and go, well, that's a win. They're only favored by 3. It's just strange things happen where you go, man, I didn't see that one coming. Buffalo's at Kansas City. Okay. You would expect Kansas City to win that game, right? Or what if Buffalo wins? It's a pick 'em. I mean, it's basically 2 points, I think. Kansas City favored by. What about Cleveland against the Chargers? Chicago in Vegas. Jets and Atlanta in London. Did we find out that stat yesterday, McLovin, that I asked you to find out? When's the last time we had two winning teams play in London?
We did. The stats guy sent it to us after the show. Hold on, I have to look it up.
All right.
You say, now, what did you say?
I wanted to know, when's the last time we had two teams with winning records play in London?
I have it here. I'm getting the book.
Okay.
I have it. Never an NFL game in England where both teams had a winning record entering the game. There have been 7 games where both teams were at least 500.
See, that's not fair to London. No. Yeah, see.
It is fair to London, though.
Why?
Because when you watch that game, there's fans from all 32 teams walking around in there where you see, like, it could be, Lions and Falcons playing there, and there's, you know, 1,000 Dolphins jerseys in there.
You don't think they care who it is as long as somebody's there?
Not at all.
Okay. Yeah, Paul.
See, you might be right. You look at the stands, and there's like a Pittsburgh Steelers Kevin Green jersey out of nowhere. But what if we just told the people in England that 1-3 means you're a good team, like the 3 is the win and the 1 is the loss? They don't know the order.
I don't know if they show up blindly where they don't really care. It always feels like it's damp, it's overcast, and that they're moving in slow motion. There's something about playing in London where you go, it never looks good. 9:30 Eastern. Yeah. Yeah, McLovin.
I had a poll question. What is the most AFC South game of the weekend? I think Jets Falcons in London is the most emblematic AFC South game. Detroit, Minnesota, Titans, Jags, Patriots, Texans has a, that is not going to be a good game.
See, Titans at the Jags is one of those tricky ones. How does the team respond to Urban Meyer? I mean, the Jags are a 4-point underdog at home.
Don't do it.
I can't call the Jags over the Titans because I have a soft spot in my heart for the Titans this year. I can't do that. I'd like to do that, but I can't do that. Yeah, McLovin.
Not to be I have been harsh on the AFC South, but they might set the record for, because there's an extra game, they'll probably set the record for most losses in a division ever, because the Jags and Texans can't win. The Titans lost to the Jets, and the Colts are injured.
Yes, Todd, you're scrunching your face.
And if the Jags lose to the Titans, how do we know if it's just because they're really bad or they're distracted by their coach's behavior?
I don't know.
Or both, I guess.
I don't know if they're going to go out there and go, hey, guys, let's play worse. I don't think that's going to happen.
Wow, 27-9. They can't get past this Urban Meyer thing with the girl at the bar.
Yeah, the girl at the bar. Yes. See,
it's like, what's the play call? I don't know. Can you believe Coach lied to us?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What's the play call? I don't
know. I have no idea.
I'm just so disappointed in him.
Yes, Molly.
If you're the opposing quarterback, could you get a little cute with your audibles? Red right, left dance, left dance. Get a little.
Wow. Wow.
Have a little fun with it.
Wow.
Not Trevor Lawrence, the opposing quarterback.
But that would be Ryan Tannehill, and he doesn't strike me as being
that snarky.
I'm like Peyton Manning might do. Yeah.
Red right lap dance.
Yeah.
Faith family.
Wow. Steakhouse, steakhouse.
Charles at home, Charles at home. Red right. What?
Why aren't you with your team? With your team.
Set up.
Hut, hut.
One and done. One and done.
Wow.
No offense.
There is football this weekend, Oklahoma and Texas.
Good bit.
Arkansas and Ole Miss. Last week, this sounded like a really good matchup. This week, and then they both got blown out. Do you see where they're giving out free popcorn at Ole Miss after Lane Kiffin's comment? Georgia against Auburn, Penn State, Iowa, Alabama, and A&M. So it feels like Oklahoma, Texas is fun. And Penn State, Iowa is obviously should be a big deal. It's just not going to be a big deal nationally. And Penn, you know, you got the Big Ten quietly is playing some really good football. Michigan, we're going to buy into Michigan. You know, they got Michigan State. They got Penn State. But then they're going to have Ohio State. Ohio State playing well. But feels like the Big Ten, at least one half of the Big Ten, is playing really well. Yes, McLevin?
I see Oklahoma's 5-0. Is this the weakest 5-0 you've ever seen?
I'm going Texas in this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you watch a lot of Oklahoma-Kansas State last
week?
Yes, I did. Coming off that game.
Yes, I did. I did watch that. I get locked in on random games. I'm watching Coastal Carolina last night against Arkansas State, and I'm watching it like it's the Super Bowl. You know? 52-20. First play I see. It's Coastal Carolina on their own 1 yard line. Play action, tight end wide open, 99 yard touchdown. I went, All right. Let's see how ugly this gets. And it did. A couple of phone calls. Brandy in Iowa joins us. Lead us off this hour. Hi, Brandy. What's on your mind? Oh, by the way, Brandy, thank you for the corn that you sent.
You're welcome. That's what I was going to double check on. I have a lot on the line today to determine, since I'm from Iowa, my nickname in the Navy was Corn Fed. So if I sent bad corn and a national embarrassment, but I know there was talk whether it would still be good at this time of year, but as dry and as late as they can do some of this, I've been eating on it this week. It was pretty good. I've just never shipped it. Also mention, wow, the Iowa State bandwagon, you guys get to take the weekend off. We get to relax.
All right. Well, thank you, Brandy. Thank you for the corn.
Yeah.
He shipped corn overnight, and Tyler is using it in the chili. Is that ethically correct to put corn in chili?
It is frowned upon, especially in Texas, to put beans or corn or anything else besides meat and spices in chili. But there's a lot of creative chilies out there.
Peter in Tampa joins us. Hi, Pete. What's on your mind this morning?
Hey, Dan. Morning. 5-8, 165. So it was a great game last night with the Rays when Rosarita stole home. Just exciting baseball. But I got a prop bet I wanted to run by you.
All right.
Okay. My Rays, the Lightning, and Bucks, all world champions in the same year.
Okay, well, you've already had two of the three.
I know, but going into this season, you know, the Bucks are contenders, the Rays were getting into playoffs, and the Lightning are always contending.
Does anybody want a piece of Peter's prop bet that he's got Buccaneers winning again, the Lightning winning, and the Rays winning? McLevin?
Yeah, those sound like great odds for me if I take that, or for any of us if we take that bet.
Yeah, but he's willing to, what, a pie to the face there, Pete?
I'll take a pie to the face, but if I win, there's a piece of real estate in your office that I was hoping to hang my picture on, right above Dan Marino and next to Al Michaels.
I don't know. That's rare air there.
Wow.
You know what? I would allow you to hang it there for a week.
I'll take that.
Yeah. And it's the behind me on the fireplace here in the man cave. Yeah, McLovin, you're going
to
take this?
I'll take a key lime pie, which is notable in the area, to the face.
Okay.
The delicious pie, I might add.
All right. Pete, we got a bet.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right. There.
Go.
We don't know what
See ya.
Go raise.
I just want to warn Andrew that anything citrus in the face burns. Because I did get a lemon meringue pie to the face, and I had to wear it for 10 minutes, and then I had a sunburn for 5 days.
Yeah, but you get a sunburn anyway.
Yeah, but not normally from a lemon pie. Products. I had a lemon burn.
David in Arkansas, then we'll take a break.
They call me Pittsburgh Dave, and it has to go up from here, as last week was my worst possible football week. My high school lost, my Hogs lost, my Steelers lost, the Cowboys won, everybody else in the AFC North won. It has to get better, and I wonder, I bought the Pittsburgh all-time five shirt off of the Dan Patrick Show website. The Steelers are 0-3 since. Right. Now, I do have a limerick for you guys on the refs, and I hope we can maybe – I don't want to upset Todd too much, but I think this one will work.
Okay, here is David in Arkansas with his limerick.
The refs are supposed to enforce the rules, but it looks like some need to go back to school. From taunting and holding and offsides and PI, we all see what they miss with our little eyes. They must really think us all a fool.
All right. Thank you, David. Todd?
I like this. A little wordy as far as the you know, and I've been guilty of that too. It's got to be a little tighter. Not that I'm some poet critic, but I like the creativity of it. It just needs to be tightened up as far as the number of words.
And tightened up as far as your response to the
that too. We could tighten up the critique.
He went long-winded in critiquing someone for being long-winded.
Let's take a break here. We'll check in with the great LA Times columnist Bill Plaschke on all things LA sports, including the Dodgers, and more phone calls coming up as well. 18 after the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show. It's amazing. Discover matches all the cash back you are going to earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically, and there's no limit on how much you can earn, which is amazing. Even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. We did some research and realized that 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing the word yes more often. You can learn more at discover.com/yes. Discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations do apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. 4 games today, baseball's postseason. Last one will be the Dodgers and the Giants in San Francisco. Can't go wrong with these two stadiums. Love them both, but for different reasons. And who would have thought that the Giants would be here with 107 wins? The fact, I don't know, when's the last time Vegas had somebody who beat their projected win total by, what, 30 games? Because I think it was almost 75 games for the Giants. They ended up with 107, Dodgers with 106. The decorated columnist for the LA Times and, of course, Around the Horn contributor Bill Plaschke joining us from San Francisco. How big a surprise were the Giants this year to you, Bill?
Well, they were such a surprise, Dan, that I was on the radio in May proclaiming they would not finish the season with a 500 record. I thought they were a mirage. I thought they were a mirage till the end. I thought the Dodgers were going to catch them. It wasn't until the Dodgers stayed in the last Sunday of the last day of the season when the Giants, when suddenly the Dodgers were playing the Brewers and suddenly the crowd breaks out in a Giants suck chant, and I knew the Giants had clinched the division. That's not until then did I believe they could do it. I don't know how they're doing it. Half these players haven't been in the playoffs before. Half of them, a year ago, I never heard of half of these guys. I mean, it's amazing what the Giants have done.
What would have been the fallout if the Dodgers had lost that game to the Cardinals?
Oh, baby. Well, I said they're going to be the best team in baseball history. So I said it before the season. So it'd have been steep. It wouldn't have been as bad as if they lost this series to the Giants, because it was a one-game coin flip with the Cardinals, and it wasn't really a fair. Baseball's so whacked in. I'm sure you agree with me on this, right? That baseball should have seedings. The Dodgers shouldn't have played a wild card game, winning 106 games. and the Dodgers shouldn't be playing the Giants this early in the playoffs. That's ridiculous. So I think the fallout wouldn't have been as bad as if, but if they lose to the Giants, it's going to be bad. It's going to be real bad. All the pressure's on the Dodgers. Giants are playing with house money. Dodgers have every bit of pressure on them.
But this is what I want to happen, Bill. Everybody's up in arms because the Yankees were in a one-game playoff and the Dodgers in a one-game playoff. That's when you have change. And I keep saying, if this was Toronto and Tampa, nobody would give a damn about it. If it was the Padres against the Giants in one-game playoff, nobody would care about it. It's the Dodgers and it's the Yankees, and maybe we see change with the one-game playoff.
John, see, you know, I don't agree with that with the Dodgers standpoint, even the Yankees, because it's just one game. They can always... The GMs and executives can always say it was just a coin flip game. They lost one game. I don't think, I mean, it would have been bad, but what's coming next? If the Dodgers lose, if they lose from here on out, it's really, it's a
no,
lot
no, no. I'm talking about Major League Baseball making a change game.
Okay.
And John Smoltz was on earlier this week and he said, why don't you make the team who has less wins, they have to beat that team twice, whereas the team with more victories only has to beat that team once. I don't know if that's a solution here, but the one-game playoff, while I like it, I don't think it's fair, but I also think they should seed. You know, give the Dodgers Absolutely. Credit for winning 106 games, and, you know, they shouldn't be playing the Giants. I agree with that.
The Dodgers are being penalized for geography. That's it. It's all about geography. And baseball, and you know, sports pennant race, sports championship shouldn't be decided by geography, and that's what it is.
How big a concern, no Kershaw? For the postseason?
You know, not as much as you would think. They have three good starters. I mean, they have with Scherzer and Buehler and Urias. And Tony Gonsolin has been good as a fourth guy. Not as much as you think. Kershaw has been up and down. He's always one that's sore elbow away from coming off the mound. I don't think I think much bigger concern is Max Muncy. Losing him is huge. That craters the Dodgers' middle of their lineup. He bats behind Trey Turner. He's given Trey Turner a lot of support this year. Muncy's a much bigger issue than Kershaw.
How much bigger do you think would Shohei Ohtani be if he played in Los Angeles as opposed to in Anaheim?
Oh, it's enormous. I mean, I've said this before on the show. Mike Trout could walk into a coffee shop in L.A. and nobody would know who he was. Shohei would be huge. And Shohei might eventually end up playing for the Dodgers because he's not happy, as I'm sure you've talked about. He's not happy down in Anaheim. He wants change. He wants them to get some pitch. He wants them to get better. He sees what's happened to Mike Trout. He doesn't want that to happen to him. Shohei's on the verge of he's all but asking for a trade. The Angels better improve and improve quick or he's gone. And the Dodgers would snap him up in a heartbeat.
He's Bill Plaschke, LA Times columnist, Around the Horn contributor, joining us from San Francisco tonight at Oracle Park. It'll be game one. The best of five, by the way, National League Divisional Series. Best of five favor Dodgers or the Giants?
I think it favors the Dodgers because they have, the three starting. You got to beat Scherzer, Urias, or Buehler. You got to beat one of them. And I don't think the Giants can do that. I just think the Giants were a fun story, a nice dream season. I just don't think they're built for the postseason. They're not built for the starting pitching that the Dodgers have. And I think a five-game series, it also mitigates Kershaw's loss. So I think it definitely favors the Dodgers. And I think the Dodgers are going to probably win this in four. I don't think it even goes five.
If I said you could pick the L.A. team to win a title this year, you can pick the Lakers now. You could pick the Rams to win the Super Bowl. You can pick the Dodgers to win the World Series.
Well, we already had Lakers and Dodgers. I picked the Rams because they tried – They tried so hard. They spent $5 billion on a stadium. They spent all these draft picks on Matthew Stafford. The Rams have done everything. Les Snead has done everything for his fans. You know, they've done everything for their fan base. They have tried to be LA's team. It would be that would be the team to win. Although, it's funny you didn't mention the Chargers. The Chargers are becoming LA's team a little bit, Dan. Don't sleep on the Chargers. Of course, you're always a Justin Herbert fan. I know that.
Yeah. I've been all in on the Chargers for 15 years, Bill. You know, I'm waiting on them. They shouldn't be waiting on me. But I think the Chargers are a really interesting team. And but I'm not sure they always find the banana peel. There's always injuries or there's always disappointment.
Yeah, they have to get over it. They have to get over it themselves. Oh, I'll tell you this. The Charger PR staff, they give us parking right across the street from SoFi. The Rams make us park far away. So, go Chargers. You know, Dan, we cheer for ourselves.
Oh, I know. I know how it is to be in the media. Like, what do we have? What's our, the press box spread that we're going to have?
Press box spread. We've got the better break. That's what it's all about.
The Lakers roster, we already had Ariza, who's going to be out with
isn't that amazing? They've already lost a guy for a month. They're so old and creaky, but you know what? They've all got their damn vaccines. That's all I care about right now. They all got vaccinated. They're all sticking together. I've been impressed so far with what Westbrook has shown. He hasn't caused a stir yet. So let's wait and see. But I think just judging from the first week of practice and the media day and all that, they seem to be more connected. They seem to realize they're old, they're creaky, nobody believes in them. They're kind of it's kind of bonded them. And I think maybe that collective wisdom could make them a better team than I thought they were going to be.
Well, what I like with Westbrook is that I think he'll help LeBron during the regular season, because Westbrook will probably take a majority of the ball, more minutes, and maybe you almost have load management for LeBron without actually calling it load management. And I think that that's important. I think Anthony Davis being in good shape. Anthony Davis should be Giannis. He should be dominant.
Oh, he should be their MVP. He should be their leader. I've said this to him. I said this to everybody. Everybody said this out here. The most important thing in LA sports, perhaps in the last year, is how was his offseason? Did Anthony Davis make the commitment to get stronger and stay healthier? Because it's on his shoulders, and he's got to realize that. This should be his team, and it's not, and it should be. And I don't think they can win a championship if it's not. Because he's the only guy that he's got the youth and he's got the the versatility. You're right, he should be Giannis, and he's not, and it should bother him. I wish it would bother him more that he's not Giannis.
He should be better than Giannis because he shoots better than Giannis does. But Giannis, to me, and I've said this before, the difference between Giannis and Ben Simmons is Giannis is not afraid to fail. That hey, if I shoot a free throw and it doesn't look good, or my 3-point shot, he just never stops. Whereas Ben Simmons gets paralyzed and he doesn't want to be embarrassed. And Anthony Davis is somewhere in between.
All you have to do with Anthony Davis, Dan, is watch LeBron's body language when Anthony Davis goes down. LeBron rolls his eyes, shrugs his shoulders. Anthony Davis is always wincing. He's always grabbing something. He's always hobbling. He's always limping. And it looks like he just is afraid to be himself sometimes. And that's a big Laker question as anything. And maybe Westbrook can get into him. And he said that. He said he wants Westbrook to get into him. Maybe the trouble Westbrook causes on these kind of teams will actually be a blessing for the Lakers.
I'm guessing that the Lakers used to be Showtime. Now you can call them Slow Time. Is that?
You call them bedtime, early bedtime. But you know what? I love it. Carmelo Anthony says it. He says we're old guys. LeBron says, LeBron reads everything.
I know.
They're using this but I'll say this, for all their connectivity and all their collective wisdom and all this stuff, they've already got, like I said, Ariza's already out. They already got one player out. They hadn't barely started exhibition games, and one guy's already injured. So I just don't know how it's going to go.
Well, as long as you have Kyrie and what's going on, that nonsense with the Nets, it certainly helps the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, it's because that's their one. That's, if the Lakers are at full strength, that's the only team that can beat them is the Nets. The only team that can win the championship besides the Lakers is the Nets. And I think they're probably looking at that. By the way, Dan, you notice this halo over my head here? Yeah. The LA Times books us. If I'm Platinum Elite, I get booked into heaven.
Oh, is that what it is?
I'm in heaven.
Oh, you are.
Yeah, it's a great update.
I like that. Bill Plaschke is in heaven. Yeah.
Platinum Elite status gets you a lot these days.
That looks nice. Now that I'm looking at that, yes, you have.
Thank you.
There's a holistic illumination behind you. Very, very impressive. You're in a cult maybe in San Francisco there, Bill.
I gave him my card at the front desk and he said, all right, you're on your floor is heaven. LA Times spares no expense in putting us up.
I'm sure of that. Thank you, Bill. Play nice in San Francisco.
See you guys.
That's Bill Plaschke, LA Times sports columnist, Around the Horn contributor. I didn't notice it, and then I did, and I was like, oh, that looked like a halo around him. All right, let me see. Update the poll results. McLevin, are we going to stay with this for the final hour?
So the poll right now is, should the Seahawks rebuild? 71% say yes. Florio had a good point. He just tweeted they were 12-4 last year and Russ wanted out. What's he going to want now?
I know. But, you know, he had such a great start. And then, you know, because I said at the time, start the season, I said, I think Russ will be the MVP. Because I thought that they would finally go, Russ, go out there and play like every other quarterback. You know, call your own game plan. You don't have to be married to the run. Go out there. Put up some dynamic numbers. And I think through like 8 games or 9 games, I'm like, yeah, Russ is cooking. And then all of a sudden, stove doesn't turn on. Pilot lights out. What the heck is wrong with this? Yeah, Paul.
That's what I was going to ask you guys. You talked about this and Ross Tucker talked about this. I think it's 4th and 2 and 3rd and 2. They ran the ball to Seahawks last night. If anyone can call his own play or call an audible or change of the line, you'd think it's Russell Wilson, right?
I think.
You would think he would have that type of green light completely.
I don't know.
Why would he let that play go on?
You call it on 3rd and 2, and then you call it on 4th and 2. And I just thought, you know, Aaron Donald's still there. That didn't go well. Yes, McLovin.
Yeah, I don't know. Are you allowed to? Is it an audible, like you see something? They were just sitting there with Aaron Donald. I don't know what happened, but I was going to ask a poll question of the must-watch game of the weekend, but is it so far and away, Buffalo at Kansas City? Do any of these games even challenge it? The Browns at the Chargers, Giants at Cowboys, Niners at Cardinals?
No. I think the Browns at the Chargers is sneaky great. Like, that's the one that really interests me. Is Buffalo going to beat Kansas City? Until they do, Kansas City is still going to be the team to beat in the AFC, in my opinion. By the way, the last time a team went over the betting win total by more than 32 games, the 2001 Seattle Mariners won 116 games and went over their projected win total that year by more than 32 games. So San Francisco did something truly amazing this year. And going over their win total, which I think was 74.5, and they won 107. We'll come back. More phone calls coming up. Take a break. Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Make sure you check out the Dan Patrick Show store. Got some great t-shirts there, including Fritzy's all-time Halloween sports-related names. Yes, we made a t-shirt out of that. Go to danpatrick.com. More phone calls coming up. We were just showing a clip during the commercial break, or if you were watching on Peacock, the Ravens player Marlon Humphreys. He yesterday said that he is not a fan of The Wire. And he watched a couple episodes and he said, yeah, I just didn't get it. And I do understand that. I think you got to be about 4 episodes in and then you really understand what was going on in inner city Baltimore. And I think the Raven fans were not pleased with Marlon Humphreys that he had the audacity to say this about a Baltimore-based show. But you know, I'm not a Game of Thrones guy. I watched one episode and I went, I'm out of here. I never watched The Sopranos. I'm like, I didn't feel like I was missing anything. Anybody have something that, well, Fritzy doesn't stream, so it doesn't matter to him. A show that everybody loves and you don't love. Paulie?
I got a couple movies. I think I waited a while to see Million Dollar Baby with Hilary Swank and Clint Eastwood. I thought that was kind of okay at best. I below average. I was not impressed at all by that movie. And there's another movie that got everyone said, you got to see it. Wolf of Wall Street. No, thank you. I thought that was hokey and not great. Even with some pretty talented actors.
Okay. I didn't like Leonardo DiCaprio's character. And sometimes that happens where you just don't like who somebody is. But I thought it was still an entertaining movie. The Departed, I thought was horrible. Like, I laughed out loud in the theater. when like everybody's getting shot all at the same time, and I'm going, you got to be kidding me here. Seton, you got one?
Other than Hamilton?
Wait, you haven't seen Hamilton?
No, I think, I did.
You did see Hamilton?
Yeah. Yeah, I watched it on TV. They did like a live
that's not stream the same.
Event thing. It's close enough.
It's not the same.
It's exactly what I thought it was going to be. no offense. you know what I didn't... was that show Bridgerton?
Oh, yeah, but that'd be for your wife. That's not for you.
I don't know. I can't think of it other than Hamilton.
I don't know. How can you not like Hamilton? What's not to like? I'm being that guy. Did you not like In the Heights either? Or you probably didn't see it.
I'm not watching that.
I didn't watch that either.
It'll win the Oscar. It's amazing.
Yeah, McLovin is like, you got to watch In the Heights.
In the Heights is great.
And one of the stars is from Hamilton.
Yeah, he was a sort of a lesser role in Hamilton.
Yeah. Do you have one, McLovin, that everybody loves and you don't love it?
I'm looking at Oscar winners. I didn't love the movie Gladiator, which is weird because everybody seemed to love that with Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe is pretty spectacular.
I've never met a person who liked Million Dollar Baby, even though it did also win the Oscar.
You know what drove me crazy is you got Clint Eastwood there, Hilary Swank, and he leaves the stool in the ring and she falls back and hits her head on the stool. Like, come on. Yeah, you got this seasoned veteran. He acts like, he's this salty dog there, and he's teaching Hilary Swank, and then he leaves the stool in the ring? I went, come on. I'm not buying that. I thought she did a pretty good job there. But, I mean, come on, Clint. Yeah, McLovin.
I think you need somebody who doesn't like The Godfather. It's like my it has to be like or didn't like Goodfellas.
I didn't watch Godfather.
But you didn't dislike it. I mean, you just never got around to it, right?
I got around to it. Once again, my wife's side of the family, there is no mafia. That doesn't come up. Like, when we have family outings, nobody sits there and goes, man, do you see The Soprano? It doesn't come up. Because I brought it up one time, and I got the ixnay on the mafia A. And I joked about, they always call it organized crime. Like, who has disorganized crime? And then nobody wanted to talk about it. And next thing you know, somebody tells me that somebody in the family tree owned a parking lot in New York City. And I go, what? Somebody might have worked for John Gotti. And I go, what? And then I realized, okay, maybe we just gloss over those things. But when it comes to great actors... it's either Brando, De Niro, or Pacino. That's it. There's nobody else involved in the conversation. Hey, what did you guys think of Tom Hanks? He's no De Niro. Okay. I thought Jimmy Stewart. He's no Pacino. Like, okay. And then I threw out, hey, Joe Pesci. He's a great actor. And I'm like, all right. Yeah, McLovin.
So what movies did you like in the 70s? You weren't into The Godfather. You didn't like Star Wars. I know that as a fact.
I don't do outer space.
Jaws?
Jaws I liked.
Okay.
Jaws scared me. Still scares me.
Yeah, I me too.
Yeah. Yeah. So I watched it. Rocky. I love Rocky.
Okay.
I thought Rocky was a spectacular movie.
But you did miss a big chunk of popular culture because you were working at night.
As far as TV shows?
Yeah.
I never watched ER.
Seinfeld?
Seinfeld, I watched tapes. I didn't see it when it actually happened. Yeah, Paul.
There's a movie that I think is actually better than I originally thought. Remember Copland with Harvey Keitel, Stallone, De Niro, the other guy.
Michael Rapaport.
Yeah.
Terminator 2.
Ray Liotta. When they announced that movie was coming out with that group of actors, I'm like, oh, well, that's a home run. It was fine. But I think I was disappointed. Since then, I've watched it a few times. I think Stallone was really good, and everyone was really good.
Yeah, Seton.
Now, the exact opposite of what Paul just described, a movie that was a little lukewarm but has gotten better with age, the exact opposite of that is Usual Suspects. That movie, when I first saw it, was phenomenal. It was absolutely great. And now when you watch it back again, it is the cheesiest movie in the world.
Wait, what happened? What happened?
I can explain. When you're kind of in disbelief, and you can't think of how silly the concepts are of The Usual Suspects. When you see it four or five times, you're like, oh, how could anyone fall for this? Wow. But the first time you see it, you're kind of like disbelief, suspending disbelief.
It was like this comeback movie for Stephen Baldwin where you're like, man, he was so good in it. He was awful. He was terrible in it. Where you watch it back now and you're like, what the hell? Wait a minute. How did I like this?
Who was waiting for the Stephen Baldwin comeback to begin with?
He wasn't.
He had a moment there where you were like, dang, this dude is a good actor. Look at him in Usual Suspects.
No.
He was terrible.
There was no Mike. Oh, yes. This is his comeback movie.
There was.
No.
There absolutely was.
Wasn't he in the Flintstones?
He was in a lot of
Wasn't he Barney Rubble in the Flintstones?
Howlers.
Oh, my God.
Biodome. Wasn't he in Biodome with Paulie Shore?
Turns out the character from Biodome, he just played a cop in Usual Suspects. It was the exact same thing.
Yes, McLovin.
I have a movie. Do you guys like The Town with Ben Affleck and Jeremy Renner?
It's okay.
I do.
I'm confused on that one.
Because?
I couldn't tell how much I liked it. Like, was it The Departed or was it way better?
You know what I don't like is when you do a Boston accent and even guys from Boston doing a Boston accent in a movie, and then it's always over the top, and then because it doesn't have to be. So it's
over the top.
Yeah, you got to be over the top. Yeah, and then you have The Departed. Like, Jack Nicholson in that movie, it's bad. Yes.
The weird thing about The Departed is that for as terrible as the accents in a lot of the movie is, I still love watching it. And I can't really tell why. I think I just like Boston crime movies. Yeah. But it's still like highly entertaining, even though you're like, dang, I wish they just dropped these accents for a minute.
But didn't it seem like it was a little too much on the accent?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
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 The same thing with The Departed. Yeah, Paul.
Remember the movie Black Mass with Johnny Depp? He plays Whitey Bulger.
Yeah.
And that's another Boston crime movie.
When I
first saw it, I thought it was okay. I've watched it. I got a lot of free time. 3 or 4 times since. I think it's better than okay.
That was disappointing, though.
Yes.
There was a lot of hype around that where I was really looking forward to that.
Yes, McLovin.
Same genre. Donnie Brasco. Thumbs up or down?
Up. Yeah, I'm going to give it up. I thought Pacino being vulnerable, Johnny Depp was good in it. Yes,
and especially because at the end of the movie, the whole movie is really good, but at the end of the movie, you see how it just like tears everybody's life apart, and this dude essentially gets a handshake and a plaque for all the service, and see you later.
Yeah.
And you're like, dang, he just ruined his whole life to do this.
Yeah,
and,
but it's the same with Serpico, with Pacino.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a true story as well, and this guy, Serpico, lives upstate New York, and basically, you know, the police department turned its back on him. And he was the one that was calling on all the corruption there. Yeah, Paulie.
You notice how Fritzy has not said one word this entire segment because the only movies he finds disappointing are the ones without nudity.
I was curious if you like Close Encounters of the Third Kind when McLovin was asking you about 70s movies.
How old is that movie?
It's from the 70s, so yeah, I guess it's got to be about 50 years old.
Yeah.
Well, the Rocky movies were around that same time.
I know. Todd, I stream things now.
I know.
I don't think you can call me out for, hey, that's back in the 70s. I'm watching things now.
Todd was disappointed by Real Housewives of Atlanta season 4.
Yeah.
I think Stranger Things is overrated. Even though I haven't seen any episodes.
You haven't even seen an episode.
I've not seen a minute of it.
No.
I have a feeling it's overrated.
You know, you're a Stranger Thing.
I am.
Yes, you are. And you're overrated.
But my name's not 11 or 17 or whatever that is. That's weird.
Let's take a break. We got one more hour to go, I think, back after this. One more item. We close out hour two. This past year brought a lot of change to our lives. And for you, that could be another job or maybe considering retirement. And if either happened to be your situation, you got a lot of questions on your mind. How do you handle your finances? What about your retirement accounts? Do you have enough money to retire? What's that portfolio look like? Is it invested appropriately? Retirement's a big deal. When it comes to investing for retirement, most people can't afford to make mistakes. Stifel has been helping clients like you manage investments for 130 years. Your Stifel financial advisor can help you create a personalized retirement plan. You understand your options for claiming Social Security and implement an investment portfolio designed around your needs. Plus, Stifel clients have access to Stifel's award-winning equity research and investment strategy views so you make more informed decisions. Find your Stifel financial advisor at stifel.com, S-T-I-F-E-L, stifel.com, Stifel Nicholas & Company, Incorporated, member, SIPC and NYSE.